move forward in fellowship. Page 4 of your notes. Establishing the three heavens, then point L. An intriguing verse dealing with the Rakia is Job 37:18. We gave that. Can you with him stamp out the sky as strong as a molten mirror? Note Job 22:14b. And this is the word C-H-U-G, transliterated. Can you walk, he walks on the vault. They translated the word vault, C-H-U-G, vault of heaven. Job 26:10. He has inscribed a circle on the surface of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness, Antarctica. Proverbs 8:27. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. Also Isaiah 40:22. He who sits above, preposition A-L, the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent, the tent metaphor. Tents, if you Google up tents, a lot of them will be conical. They'll all be, yes, there's other shapes, but typical tents, modern tents, ain't old tents, they have this shape because they're a little more wind resistant. And Amos 8:6, the one who builds his upper chambers and has formed his vaulted dome. This word only occurs once, so it's going to be questionable as to what, how to translate it. Aguda. So when you only have a word one time, you're kind of, you know, like some other verses where you can see it in another, used in a different setting. Over the earth. In any case, it's over the earth. He calls for the waters of the sea. Now, we all understand this part, I think. Yeah. And pours them out on the face of the earth. You know what that's called in science? Evaporation. Condescension. And the Lord is his name. Now, the sun, the moon, and stars are located within the firmament, according to a verse, Psalm 19:4. The language is figurative or poetic, but it's the literal part is the dome. Their line has gone out through all the earth, the witness of creation. A line through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun. So the dome reflects all of this, and the tent is the covering. Also, in our Genesis 1:14, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens. In the firmament of the heavens. Not outside, but in. To separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and days and years. 14:17. God placed them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And 20, then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures. That's the ocean life, sea life, aquatic. And let the birds fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heavens. In the open, before the face of it. Okay? Now, we have a very interesting one here, and Ezekiel's vision is a killer. I mean that about trying to figure it all out. But let's notice and maybe get some clues from this. From Ezekiel, we get the idea of what this dome is made of. Somebody said, "Oh, what is it? Metal?" I said, "Look, you want to argue about what the material is? Get first of all the fact of it." And then we can maybe work on that part. Now, over the heads of the living creatures, there was something like a firmament. So in the vision of Ezekiel, these living creatures are not above the firmament, they're in it. As to all the breakdown of that, it's, like I said, it's a killer. It's unlike almost any of the other visions. Of course, this is the first chapter of Ezekiel, his call to the ministry. Under the firmament, the wings were spread out straight, one toward another. Each one had two, which covered one side, and each one had two, which covered the other side of the body. And you can probably visualize that. And then moving down to 25 through 28 of that chapter, because the other isn't pertinent to this. And there came a voice from above the firmament that was over their heads. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. Now above the firmament that was over their heads was something like resembling a throne. Like they've translated, and they picked the stone, lapis lazuli. Now if that's the stone, okay. Lapis lazuli is a real pretty blue gemstone. Like lapis lazuli in appearance, or sapphire. And on that which resembled a throne, there was a figure with the appearance of a man. That's God the Father. Then I looked down to 10:1. Then I looked in the firmament that was over their heads of the cherubim, something like a sapphire stone. That's the translation here. We understand what sapphire more or less is. In appearance, resembling a throne, appeared above them. Now, I don't know what the throne is made of, what the dome is made of exactly, but that was used because of its constant references to the firmament. And it cannot be the atmosphere. That makes no sense. Daniel 12:3. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the firmament of heaven. This is the righteous who in time are the ones who make it and make a big statement. And those who led the many in righteousness like the stars forever. So again, the waters above the dome explain why the sky is blue, I think. The water vapor canopy, therefore, idea was a theory set up by someone. Very ingenious, but it doesn't work. And so, in conclusion, again, on these verses, I want to say, I'll give them another listing of them quickly, and I'll read one thing, and I'll let you go real early today. The word D-U-R is the word ball. I'll cite the verse in a minute. And the difference between a circle and a ball should be apparent to anyone. A circle, like a hula hoop, that's a circle. A ball, like a basketball, is a spherical object. And the evidence from the Old Testament is that the Hebrews, Moses writing the first five books and then all the rest of it, the ancient Hebrews believed in a flat earth cosmology. They didn't believe in the Copernican model. There is a professor from Dallas Seminary, the top professor of Hebrew, who says that it's a flat earth, but he doesn't believe it. He believes the Copernican view. So there's a little bit of everything out there. I'm not in that camp. I don't know how you can go there. I would either think that you would say, well, I don't believe the Bible because it's inaccurate on this topic. That's what he's saying. But I believe all the verses about salvation and everything else. Wow. How do you get there? But people are people and they do what they do. So he has inscribed a circle on the surface of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness. That does not refer to the equator. There's no inscription there. This is a definite inscription, a definite boundary, if you will. And then we gave you Proverbs 8:27. Used in these verses. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. The interpreter has to deal with that. And then, Isaiah 40:22, Kug again. He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. A reference back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1 stands at the front of the Bible as a challenge to all fake science and all the views of people all down through history. The only reference to Baal, D-U-R, is Isaiah 22:18. And of course it has nothing to do with the earth at all. So they knew what a Baal was, okay? And that was been one of my points, and it will come out later. The ancient Hebrews knew what a Baal was. These people weren't stupid about physical things and measurements and building stuff. They weren't some Neanderthals or something. They weren't some Stone Age, whatever that means, people running around and could not figure out stuff. You can tell a kid in school without much of a frame of reference and give him a picture of the modern astronomy, and he more or less gets it. No, he doesn't question it. He doesn't ask any questions. He can see. Because there's this globe sitting over in the corner of the classroom. And there's a chart on the wall with it running around the sun. So you tell me that they couldn't have figured that out, and God would not reveal that to his servants, and he would have kept them in the dark. That's what I've been told. They couldn't know this. So he had to use figurative language. And it really ticks me off. You read what Joshua said and ordered the sun to do when he could have said something else, even if he didn't understand it. Every prophet didn't understand everything he said. But he said the right stuff, and the Holy Spirit gave him the information. So why would he say something that was the freaking opposite? And we're supposed to know and figure that out all through time. And so all the people before the Copernican thing took root in civilization were all screwed up, right? No, they were not. We're screwed up. Satan's done a masterful job of putting this one over on the human race. A perfect job. No. The Bible says the sun's moving and the earth is stationary. That's just what my Bible says. And I get grief for that. I'm supposed to report something different? Not on your life. No way. I am not going to do that. If you're out there listening to this, I hear some people are still listening to me. Okay, good. Maybe something will click with you. I'll tell you the reasons people reject this. Pride. Fear. Oh, fear is a big one. Oh my God, I'm going to be ridiculed. And my friends and whoever else, and they're going to call me a flat earth. Church, I'm out of here. Those are a couple reasons. There's other hidden motivations. People love this stuff. They're Star Wars trickies. They love this stuff. It's sexy. And we just are celebrating our moon landings. And it crank, and they're continuing to crank. They have to have this. Because if Genesis 1 stands tall, and it will, and does, their whole bunch of their crap is down the trash. It's a joke. It's a laughing stock. More and more people are coming around to this. Here's one I gave people. Tell me this. Oh, another reaction to it. Extreme anger. I mean red-faced, wanting to punch you in the face. Anger. Where's that come from? Gentlemen, having a discussion. We can discuss anything, can't we? We can study eternal. I could talk to another person that didn't believe in eternal security, and I'd give them all my reasons and why it's the way it is. I don't have to scream and get mad at them. I just tell them what I tell them. And that's what you do with people once you become convinced. They want to argue with you, just say, the earth's not moving. L.A. isn't going to be here in approximately an hour. If you could manage somehow to just stay up there long enough. That's what I'm told. I was told to believe. I never thought. My bad. I never thought this stuff through. Now, here's the one I gave someone. God created water to flow which direction? To the slowest level. Everybody and his dog knows that. Water, under the natural laws, there are natural laws. Unless God suspends the natural law, does something strange, but that's a miracle for a specific purpose. But we don't have an ongoing miracle. A river cannot run uphill. Can it? Will you show me one? I'm talking about the Nile. I guess it's the longest river. It's close to it. It and the Amazon. Those are the two biggest, longest rivers. To flow up over the equator, it would have to go uphill on a curve. Good grief. How does it do that? And you can actually go to the books and find out what the drop is on the Nile River from its headwaters deep in Africa to what its drop is. I was told, I didn't check it out, it's about a foot. 1 foot. Curvature doesn't allow for that. If you're talking curvature, you couldn't have anything that's a P-L-A-I-N that stretches for hundreds of miles. Go on and Google on world's longest plains. Flat, flat, flat. If they were on a curve, you couldn't use the word plane. You'd have to use, we'd have to have some other vocabulary. I'm just putting things out here so you start thinking. But if you want to go with the crowd and have their accolades, fine. That's what everybody does. That's what everybody does. Oh, get this one. Job 22:14. Coug again. Clouds are a hiding place for him. Really? So he cannot see as he walks on the vault of heaven. Whoa, what's this? To conclude that this passage is indicating a sphere object is to reject the other uses of the word and rewrite the definition of the verse. All of the verses are indicating a vault or arch or domed object. If we read the entire Job 22:14 verse, we are given an image of God walking on the top of the firmament, looking down, and Job being obscured by the clouds blocking God's view of Job. Now, you work out all the details of that, but I'm just saying that's what it's saying. Again, this matches the Hebrew cosmology and not what we are provided in state schools today. If God walks on a ball of heaven, and the heaven is at the furthest reaches of the universe, being further than what man has been able to see in all directions, then the clouds will be of little consequence in obstructing God's view of them. Meaningless. A big to-do about nothing. These verses are in our Bible for us. They are a challenge to us. I haven't worked out all the details of this. Once you get into a new doctrine and you develop it, yes, you're going to have questions. Physical questions, biblical questions. But once you get the basic model working in your head, we can work from there. You don't have to know everything, because you can't know everything. There are things that are hidden, like the dimensions of this whole thing. I'll give you that coming up. We'll have a point on specifying the moon by itself, the sun by itself, and the earth by itself. And the reasons why people reject this, well, it hides God. It enables them to peddle Big Bang, evolution, theory of gravitation, and all the other scientism stuff that they've been peddling. Why? To make the Bible look stupid and destroy people's faith, if they've got any, and push them away from it. That's what it does. It's perfect if you're looking at it from the dark side. Because if you look at Satan at any time, what does he want to do? And I think everybody here with a half a brain doctrinally will agree with this. Satan wants to reverse everything God says is okay. Pick something. Pick nationalism. Oh, nations are bad. That's why we got all these problems. We need an international world order mess thing. Who says sex is just supposed to be between a married couple? Satan is flipping the whole script
in the minds of people. So that eventually down the road, well, I don't have a problem with that. Where'd you get that? In 1971, 2, and 3, in that area, homosexuality was considered abnormal, a sickness or something, psychological jargon. We just say basically it's a depraved sin. Okay? But now it's okay. They had a thing on Facebook, and I don't go there, and I'm not bragging, I'm not saying I'm better than everyone else, but I don't want to mess with that. You want to go out there and continue to peddle this stuff, then you're a stumbling block. If you're working on it, fine, I'm all for you. But beyond a point, it falls in your lap. If I refuse to teach a true doctrine because I'm going to lose church members or whatever other hell is going to come down on me, then I can just kiss my crown goodbye. I could teach 90% of the truth, and oh, I won't touch that 1/10%. What's that make me? Now, if I didn't know it, that's one thing. That's one thing. If I didn't know it, but now that I know it, and so I'm going to flip the script, you, therefore, become equally responsible. You are not responsible for something you were never taught. But by God in heaven, you are responsible for what you've heard. You are responsible to take it in and believe it and live under it. And take whatever flack and grief you get from people. Ha ha ha, laugh, 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 scoff, scoff, scoff. Knock yourself out. They're just handing you a bunch of SG3. If you know the scripture. If you're being persecuted for the truth. So I have more to say about that. This is really a big deal. People, you know what they're saying about me? I lost my mind. I'm under the influence of Satan. Okay, fine. I'm not. You run and hide, but you cannot permanently exit the truth. The truth will find you out. All of us. That's why we pray for wisdom. And I told you that as God is my witness. And I don't use that one lightly. I prayed if there's anything big thing I'm missing for my congregation. I'm not looking for anything. I'm not trying to vent something. I'm not trying to get a name because I had a breakthrough. I just want to teach the truth. And if there's something I'm missing, get it to me. And then this came along. Well, thank you, God. I think. Yeah. Eventually we'll get our sense of humor back around here. But when people confront you, this is what I say to them. You don't have to say something complicated and go through all this because they're not listening. Just say, we're not moving. How fast would the earth have to spin before someone... You get on a merry-go-round, you know immediately you're moving. Well, you say, yeah, but that's going... Okay, I understand. But let's make it. Let make the darn thing go real slow. Close your eyes. You feel it? Yes, you feel motion. And we're supposed to be told that we are going that fast. And we can't feel a scintilla of it. Nobody can report. Did you feel that? You feel the slightest tremor from an earthquake. Did you feel that? We had a few of them here. Some of them were real slight. Brent, did you catch it? No, I didn't catch it. I caught it. Even animals catch it. I'm looking at this now. I'm going, wow. We are actually on a ball? Spinning, one, wobbling, and going 66,000 miles an hour around the sun. Now, how many miles would you have traveled in your life if you didn't go anywhere? You can compute that, but it's mythology. You're not doing that. You'd have quite a few miles on you. But see, this is what we were taught. Why not? Why in a classroom wasn't anyone able? Because if you question, you can talk about the details until you're blind. But if you question the model, oh my God, you got hell to pay. I don't care if you're in a religious school or what. You stand up and ask a bona fide question. Please explain to me how the Nile can run uphill. That's all I want to know. I'm sure that you got a perfectly good scientific explanation. I saw a little thing on one of the things online. It said, what do we tell kids in school is the reason why people don't fall off the earth that are down on the southern part of it when they're upside down from the people in Canada? We're all stuck on this thing like pins on angles. And they're all held down here perfectly. And their up is our down, and their down is our up. God is not the author of confusion and stupidity. That's what it would be. Unless you just dismiss the whole thing and enter into what I call cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is that a person holds two opposing ideas simultaneously in their mind and accepts both of them as true. They're complete opposites. It's either one or the other. They're not both true. That's called cognitive dissonance. And people are suffering major causes of that. There ought to be a pill for it. In other words, you can't have it both ways. And you can't run around and say, well, God can do anything he wants to. Well, what's that supposed to mean? He can create water that runs and seeks its own level no matter what. But he can create an environment for it that it wouldn't do that. Either it'd be running so damn fast. There is a formula, spatial trigonometry, on measuring curvature on an object. Think of a great big ball. It doesn't matter what the size of it is, really. That you can compute the amount of drop. It's impossible. From the northern border of Kansas to the southern border would be thousands of feet. And it's one of the flattest states in the country. It's always, go there, it's all flat. All I want you to do is think about it. Do not be a captive to this world system. God is going to bring down every lofty thought raised up against the knowledge of God. It's going to come crashing down to the shame of these people. You can extradite yourself from it. Or you can stay in it. I pray that you'll extradite yourself. Bury your pride like a bad habit. I know why people don't get it with it. Fear. If I teach this, that was one of the first things that was said to me. I won't tell you who said it. You're going to lose a whole bunch of your congregation. That was the first thing. Well, I didn't destroy my ministry. And I didn't do wrong by any of these people. If I wanted to play it safe, well, I'm doing what's playing it safe, really. But in the short term, if I wanted to play safe, I wouldn't have taught this. I'd have told all of you to believe whatever you want to believe about the earth. Then that makes me a coward. And I'm not reporting information. I didn't come here day one to please a bunch of people when I dropped on to the United States in prophecy, and I didn't know what the hell was going to happen with that one. Because they were all flag-waving, militaristic, out-of-theme church, blah, 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 blah. Kill the commies. And I'm going to tell them this country's going to be blown up, and I'm going to present this information. It's 1976. Wow, I've been here too long. Present the whole thing. I put my ministry on the line right then and there. I didn't lose anybody that I know of over that. Nobody. They heard me out. And it's a great burden to have to teach something of that heavy. For American-loving, freedom-loving Americans brought up in the deal, it's a big deal to hit them over the head with. Another reason people have prejudice against it, they've been in the military. They work for the government. Do you want those people out there to know you're a flat earther? What that might do for you? Well, I do. It's a witness. I am not ashamed of Christ. I'm not ashamed of anything he has done or anything he promotes. God help me if I am. I am not ashamed of the gospel. You know what the gospel sounds like to people? That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Yeah, the Romans crucified him. But he overcame that. We'll tell you the end of the story. The new earth is going to be flat too. Brenda said that to me when I was doing back in Revelation. She says, I think it's flat. I go, why? Because she used common sense, I believe. The new Jerusalem is 1,500 miles square. How do you set that on a curve? If you do research, you will find there are no compensations made by engineers running railroad tracks, highways, and the like of it that have to even consider curvature. Somebody told me when they shot rounds off in the first computers and tanks way back in the day, in the 60s, they had to do humidity, they had to do wind, nobody had to do curvature. There's no compensation for it. And by the way, one of my church members sent me information from the NASA website. And I can get it to you. And they highlighted the stuff in there. All calculations for air flight over Earth, and these are complicated math things. I mean, you just go dizzy looking at them. Is all presupposed on a flat Earth. I said, what? They said it. It would all be different on a curve, on a ball. I think common sense ought to tell anyone that. Thank you, Father. May God the Holy Spirit help us to get through this in Christ's name. Amen.